series right now that we've titled Get the Boat. Jesus said, Get the Boat. Today's message is, what is it? Boat tripping with Jesus. Boat tripping with Jesus. And all of us are on a journey. But not all of us are on a journey with Jesus. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you put your faith and trust in Him, He's your Lord. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so when you go through this life, He's with you. Amen? And we have the Holy Spirit, the living God, living inside of us. We have Jesus Christ at the right hand of God making intercession to God the Father on our behalf. So that's what we're talking about today. Boat tripping with Jesus. But the disciples, they did some serious boat tripping with Jesus Christ. So let's go to the message this morning. The key. Right off the bat, we want to give you the key to this message of boat tripping with Jesus. And here it is. The starting place, if you're going to do some serious boat tripping with Jesus Christ, is this. Luke 8:22. That's where we're going to be. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn there. We'll also be up on the big screen this morning with the scriptures. But Luke 8:22. This is the key. If you're going to boat trip with Jesus and have a successful journey in life and know your purpose and have a passion for serving Him and loving Him, this is the key. Luke 8:22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that He went into a ship with His disciples, and He said unto them, let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Now that's the key. Where's the key at? Well, listen, we're going to find the key. Jesus said this, let us go over onto the other side of the lake. That's the key. You need to know that as you boat trip in this life with Jesus Christ, He said, I'll never leave you. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to take you to the other side. That just can do worlds for your thinking. To know that Jesus Christ is with you on this journey that you're on. In every situation, whether it's your marriage or your children or whatever it is. Death. Whatever. I'm with you. And you're going to make it to the other side. That was the key. And that is the key to this story that we're going to talk about today. Let's keep looking. If you're boat tripping with Jesus, you must believe He's going to get you there. Can you say this with me? He's going to get me there. Say that. He's going to get me there. How about look at somebody and just tell them, He's going to get me there. He's going to get me there. I believe it. He's going to get me there. That is the key. If you're going to boat trip with Jesus Christ, you've got to believe He's going to get me there. I have the confidence in the Lord. You have that kind of confidence? He's going to get me there. Listen, if He came from heaven, I say it often. If He came from heaven, was born of a virgin, that's tough. Amen? Lived a sinless life, died on the cross, rose from the dead, that's tough. Amen? Let me tell you something. Then He can get me there. He can get me there. He is not going to leave me. He is not going to forsake me. He is not going to fail me. And I'm going to stick with Him. He's going to stick with me. It's going to happen. I've got to believe He's going to get me there on this trip I'm on. Gilligan's Island. Oh boy. Here we go. I don't know what Rod just done to me today. Gilligan's Island. I thought about calling this message today Gilligan's Island or Gadara. Because in the story, we're going to find out that this boat landed not on Gilligan's Island, but it landed on a place called Gadara. What do I have on the screen now, Cody? All right. Well, you know my voice would go out. Just sit right back in your ear and tell a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour. Help me, for a 3-hour tour. Boom! The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. Help me. The minnow would be lost. The ship set ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle with Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, the professor and Marianne, here are Gilligan's Island. Oh, there you go. You did a great job. Thank you. You did great. Could have called this message Gilligan's Island or and Gadara, but we didn't. Boat tripping with Jesus. It's interesting. I'm from Rockingham, North Carolina. Little old hole in the road.
But believe it or not, I have been to Gilligan's Island and I've been to Gadara. It's amazing where God can take you on the boat trip. And several years ago, I was on a cruise and went to an island where they shot footage for Gilligan's Island. I got a picture of my little daughter, Elise, about just a little thing, a few months old, laying on my chest, and I'm in a hammock, you know, on Gilligan's Island. Now, many times I've gone to the Holy Land, and you'll get on the Sea of Galilee, and the guide on the boat, because we've always got in a boat, and we have a service right in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. We've got another trip planned, and there'll be coming out, some information will be coming out about that. But we usually always get there on the Sea of Galilee, and the guide will point and say where things are. Capernaum, Cana, all these places, Tiberias. And then he'll point and say, that's Gadara over there. But that's on the Jordan side in Syria. So we never go there. They just point. Well, a few years ago, I had a friend who worked for the Jordan Ministry of Tourism. And he asked me if I wanted to go to Jordan with him. And so we went. Joy and I went. And on behalf of the government, we went over there. And they took us to Gadara. We're going to talk about Gadara today. Gadara's in the Bible. It's an unbelievable place, and it's part of this story today. So I've been able to go to both these places. I sort of like Gilligan's Island better, though. Gadara. Let's see what we see today. The key, then, to this message is let's go to the other side. That is the key to boat tripping with Jesus. If the disciples would have only remembered he said that, because they get on this boat and the storm comes. If they would just have remembered, he said we were going to the other side. Do you have that kind of confidence in Jesus Christ and his word? What his word says, that settles it? If it says it, I believe it. And that's the end of the matter. I think that's the kind of faith we need to have. He said, let's go to the other side. Let's see the story today, Luke 23. So he said, let's get on the boat. We're going to the other side. Verse 23. But as they sailed, he, that's Jesus, fell asleep. And that's sort of nice sometimes on the boat, you know? Take your little nap. There you are. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. Notice it came down. The Sea of Galilee sets 600 feet below sea level and is surrounded by mountains. So the storm came down. The Sea of Galilee is about 6-7 miles wide by about 15 miles long. 14-15 miles long. It's shaped like a harp, like the instrument, a harp. And so the storm came down on that lake of wind. And they were filled with water. What's that mean? Sounds like water's getting in the boat to me. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they were filled with water. I think the boat was filled with water. And they were in jeopardy. They want no gain. This is serious stuff. And they came to him and they awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased and there was a calm. Jesus rebuked the storm. Before we talk about that, I just want you to know, were these guys seasoned fishermen? Most of these guys are fishing. You think they'd ever seen violent storms on the Sea of Galilee? Yes or no? No, they'd seen this stuff, man. They knew storms. This must have been some horrific storm. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, they were more acquainted with that lake than Jesus was. He grew up in Nazareth. He was a carpenter. They knew that lake. They knew these storms. But what did they do, man? They got scared silly. You know? They're like, man, we're going to perish. These are fishermen. I mean, they're tough. They can't get a tougher brew than these kind of guys. But they were so afraid. And the Bible says that Jesus rebuked the storm. Let's keep moving, Rod. We'll pick it up a little bit. The word rebuked. This word was used by Jesus when he was dealing with demons. It's interesting that he rebuked the storm. You just don't normally see that. He rebuked the storm. It's the same exact word when he was dealing with demons. Look at Luke 4, 33. In the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. We also see it in Luke 9. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus what?
rebuked the unclean spirit, and he healed the child and delivered him again to his father. So this word that Jesus used, they were on the boat, the storm came.
Jesus said they'd get to the other side, but they were scared to death. They had forgot all about that. That was the key, but they forgot it.
And he rebuked the storm. Same word when he dealt with the devil. Perhaps Satan was behind this storm. Perhaps Satan was behind the storm. Why? A couple of reasons we put up there. Number one, to stop Jesus. This was his chance. Let's kill him! All hell broke loose on that lake. And then, I mean, Satan came against him. And I tell you what, the Bible says that Satan, if you know it, say it with me, is the prince and the power of the what? Of the air. And so, perhaps he did this to stop Jesus Christ. Number two, perhaps to keep him from getting to the other side. Satan knew what was on the other side in Gadara. Let's stop him. Let's kill him. Let's do something. Let's don't let him get to the other side. Because he knew that Jesus had power. If he gets to the other side, that island, something's going to happen on that island. This ain't no Gilligan's Island story today, friend. This is a real deal. This isn't a tale. This is the truth. And so, he rebuked Satan. And not Satan's not always in the storm. When you see storm coming, I felt like it this last week. I mean, it's windy down in the Keys. And so I couldn't get out of the boat into the Atlantic. Had to stay in the bay. So it was easy for me to say, well, that's the devil. No, it wasn't the devil. This is a unique situation where I think Satan wanted to stop Jesus and stop him from getting to the other side. And Jesus rebuked the storm. Both the wind and the waves, if you read your Bible, they were calm immediately. Does that normally happen, say, huh? No, when the wind dies down, the waves are still doing this, ain't they? It's still doing this, and it takes a while. But when Jesus says, peace be still, baby, it stops. And that's, you need to have that kind of confidence in your life that you might say, well, this has happened to me, that's happened to me in my life. Guess what? When Jesus comes into your life, change can happen. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. The winds and the waves, they were calm immediately. Verse 25. He said unto them, to the disciples, where is your faith? And they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So that's how the disciples felt. They had lack of faith. Jesus talked to them about that. And they just couldn't imagine what was happening here. Let's keep looking. Faith, they didn't have faith. Faith is not believing in spite of circumstances. It's also this. Look at it. Faith is obeying in spite of feelings and consequences. Do you think Jesus can get you through this life? Do you think he can correct? Maybe you've got family problems, struggles. Who knows what's going on? Do you believe he can get you through it? Obey him then. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what I'm dealing with. Listen, faith is obeying in spite of what you're feeling. Obey him in spite of the consequences. Man, if I do this, man, I'm going to get hurt from doing this. You know, listen, are you going to obey the Lord or not? That's what faith is, and they didn't have it. We need to deal with our fear first if we're going to exercise faith. You got to deal with your fear first if you're going to exercise faith. If you're always scared at the situations you're facing, or maybe it's a family situation, or maybe it's witnessing to a neighbor, or living for the Lord in some capacity, if you're always afraid, you're not going to be able to exercise faith. You've got to deal with that fear. Faith and fear cannot dwell together in the same heart. You cannot have that. Oh, I'm a faithful. I believe I got faith. But you're always scared of death. You're scared to serve the Lord. Scared to trust Him, to believe in Him. The Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. We must believe that He is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We've got to have faith. And faith and fear can't dwell together. I encourage you to write this down, perhaps. Isaiah 12. It's a little chapter. You ought to read it sometime. I think it's 6 or 7 verses. It'd be a great little chapter for you to write out and put on your refrigerator, stick in your Bible, do something. Listen, it just will help you with your fear. Look at just one verse. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Is that powerful or what? Amen? Listen, He is my salvation. I will trust in Him. You've got to deal with fear if you're going to really be able to exercise amazing faith. So let's see what happens on this boat trip. Keep moving, Rog. What happened when they got to the other side? Listen, I don't know if I painted a picture very well. I don't think I have. And that is, this was a horrendous storm. They were scared to death. So what do you think is going to happen when they get to the other side? Picnic time, right? Baby, get some sodas. We're going to have a good time now when we get to the other side.
Thank God we're off the lake,
you know?
Thank God we're out of that storm. And they ain't even seen trouble.
Look at what happened to the other side. Luke 8, 26 to 33. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes. That's the little area of Gadara, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time. And he wore no clothes. Now this was a sight. You know what I'm saying? In the storm, get to the other side. Here's a man full of devils, and he's naked. I watched Gilligan's Island. I never saw that. All right? This is wild. Neither did he abide in a house, but in the tombs, lived in the graveyard. This don't sound like no picnic to me. I'm like, do I want to be in the lake, or do I want to be on the land? I mean, that's a bad fix to be in right there, ain't it? You know what I'm saying? Chad, you'd be going back to the water, wouldn't you? You know what I'm saying? Listen. And when he saw Jesus, this demon-possessed man, and I'm going to show you in a little bit, there were two of them. When he saw Jesus, he cried out. He fell down before him. And with a loud voice, he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou what?" Help me here. "Thou what? Thou Son of God. Most what? High. I beseech thee, torment me not. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he would break the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." This was a wild situation. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." Because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine, as pigs, feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into the pigs. And he suffered them. He allowed them to go into the pigs. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the what? The pigs. And the pigs ran down violently down a steep place into the lake, and they were what? Choked. I don't know. That's just a scene, man. That's just wild. The storm on the lake, scared to death. I mean, they thought that was scary. Look at this. All right, let's keep moving. Two men met him with devils. Why do I say two men? Because Matthew 8, 28. I think the situation in Luke mentions one. Why does he mention one and not two? Because one is going to talk to Jesus a little later and want to follow him. And this is a story, I think, where it just shows a little bit about what one of them thought. But there are actually two, I think. Matthew 8, 28 says, "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him what? Two possessed with devils, coming out of tombs exceeding fierce, that no man might pass by that way." How many would try to find another way around if you had to go by these two? Say, no, we believe y'all can go left. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, and that's what the people did. So I believe there were two. Verse 27, by the way, in Matthew 8, comes before verse 28. And I just want to say this morning. After the storm, the disciples marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And then verse 28 comes, where it talks about the devils. Do you marvel at Jesus? That's part of the victory. Do you marvel at the Lord? Are you in awe of him? See, if you're not in awe of him, if you don't think that he is greater than anything, that he can do anything, then your boat's always going to be doing this. But when you marvel at him, you can take the devil head on. Are you hearing me today? Say it. You need to marvel at him and know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You need to marvel at Jesus Christ. These disciples, they could go to the other side. They could land on the other side. They could see the situation and deal with these devils because they marveled at Jesus Christ. Do you marvel at him? Let's talk about these two fellows. Look at it. They were pitiful. Look at it. Here we go. They were naked. Second thing. They were living among the tombs. That's where they hung out. Number three. They were violent and dangerous. Number four. They terrorized the neighborhood. I mean, buddy, these were the ultimate terrorists right here. I'm telling you, they terrorized the neighborhood. Next, they were controlled by a legion of demons. These two individuals controlled by a legion of demons. We put a little note there. A Roman legion of soldiers could have as many as 6,000 men. It's hard to imagine that these two individuals could have possessed 6,000 demons. I know some of you, they think I'm crazy. Clark's up there talking about the devil and stuff like that. You know, let me tell you something. Christ talked about demons, devils all the time. This is the story of how he encounters them. Friend, there are devils. There are demons. There is a Satan. That's what the Bible teaches. You can live in this other world if you want to. But you know what? There's nothing that can describe what men and women will do other than being demon-possessed. Some men up here, several men in our state, taking children, raping them, murdering them. You don't think there's a devil? What? That's horrible. The heinous crimes, the things that go on. The pornography, the crap, the crud that you see on television, everywhere all around you. Oh, but this ain't no devil. What world are you living in? What planet you on? Part of dealing with living a Christian life is dealing with reality. And there is a devil. I've experienced it many times in my life. I know Satan has tried to destroy my life. He tries to influence me to make wrong decisions and pulls me that way. That's why I need to be in the book, study the Word, have faith in Jesus Christ. These had like as many as 6,000 demons. Unbelievable. Let's keep moving. Let's talk about Satan just a little bit, since we're on this topic. It's good for us to talk about it. Let's keep moving, Raj. Satan is a thief. Here's a great verse. John 10:10. Has a great promise, but it starts off with this. The thief, Satan, comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what Satan wants to do to you. He wants to do that to me. Jesus said this, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen? But there is a devil, and there are demons. He is a thief. Let's talk a little bit more about Satan. He'll rob you of everything good. Satan has tried to rob me of everything good in my life. I believe that. How about you? Have you felt that in your life? Tried to rob you of everything good in your life. That's not God. That's Satan. Next. He tried to destroy your life. Satan has literally tried to destroy my life. When I first got married, my marriage started off tough and rough. And many of you that I counsel with, I open up with you. I talk with you about things that I've had happen in my life, the struggles I've had. It's been tough, man. Satan wanted to derail me right off the get-go. You know what I'm saying? And then time passed and my stepdad murdered my mother. I think Satan's been dogging the whole time. You can talk about it any way you want. That's how I feel. I feel that. I really believe he wants to destroy your life. You need to trust Christ. You need to trust in Him and love Him. Next, nothing can restrain, control, or change the devil's servant except this. Watch this. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Only Jesus Christ can change your heart. And if you don't belong to Christ, then you are not Christ. You belong to Satan. That's a tough statement. That's an ugly statement. But it's a true statement. Only Jesus Christ died on the cross. Only He can save you. Only He can change you. Satan. So what happened? We see these guys were filled with demons. Also, I learned something, and when you read the Bible, you see all kinds of things. I want to share it with you. Something I've known and studied over years, but I want to share it with you today. The demons believe. There's some of you listening to my voice today, or you're going to be listening on radio later, and you don't believe. I mean, demons are one up in you. Let's look and see what the demons believe. Look at it. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. With authority to command them. But some of you are like, well, I mean, what's the difference between Jesus and Muhammad? I mean, he's just like a good man. Yeah, the demons got more sense than you. That's ugly, ain't it? It's the truth. They believe. Next. Look at this, the scriptures. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil's also what? Believe in what? Tremble. Let's look at another scripture. Luke 8, when he saw Jesus, the demon-possessed guy, he cried out, he fell down before him, and with a loud voice he said, what have I to do with you, Jesus? Thou what? Son of God, Most High. The demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's see what else demons believe. They believe in a future judgment. Look at the scriptures, Matthew 8. And behold, they cried out, "What do we have to do with you, thou Jesus, Son of God? Art thou come to torment us before the what? The time." You don't believe in a future judgment and hell and all that, do you? You're not one of those wild-eyed preachers. And yeah, I believe just like Jesus believed. And guess what? I believe like the demons believe. Isn't that awful? I can't believe I said that. That's a fact. In our world, we create in our mind with this imaginary Gilligan Island boat trip. Guess what? On your boat trip, there are devils. On your boat trip, there's a place called hell. The devils believe, the Bible says it, Jesus talked about it over and over and over again. They believe in hell, the abyss. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. The word is abyss. Also you can see, I think, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 3, he cast them into the bottomless pit, he shut them up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Finally, I guess they believe in prayer. I guess demons believe in prayer. Why? Because they asked Jesus to send them where? Into the pits. I'm just saying, I know that can be a little ugly talk this morning, but look, do you pray? Do you believe that God can? I don't know. But demons end up with it. They ask him for help. Why don't you and me? Amen? The demons believe. Back to the story. Here we go. So what happened? Men are more important than pigs. I'm going to put this up on the screen today. Men are more important than pigs. Stay with me. Now listen. Now help me now. Luke 8, 34 through 37. When they that fed them saw what was done, when those that were feeding the pigs saw what happened. Now that would be a story right there. I was out feeding the pig, and over here something, all of a sudden, man, it was wild. When they that fed the pig saw what was done, they fled. Buddy, I'd be right with them too, wouldn't you, dude? Baby, we out of here right now. Some of them got the pig. Pigs are dead. Pigs gone. They jumped. Anyway. They fled and they went and told in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done. The people did. And they came to Jesus and they found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And in his right mind. And they were afraid. This thing always really gets me, this story. Wait a minute, what's the picture? The guy got clothes on now. He's in his right mind. Are you scared? But they were scared. Verse 36. They also who saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Okay? Verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the gatherings, the whole community came down. This is definitely going to be a community event here. The whole community came out round about Jesus and they besought Jesus to what? Leave! Get out of here! For they were taken with great fear and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now, that ain't the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, how many would like to see drug addicts healed, not do drugs anymore? Would you like to see that, amen? Wouldn't that be good? I mean, if Jesus came and healed people like that, wouldn't you say, hey, yay, Jesus, great. Then these guys possessed with demons, terrorizing the neighborhood, running around naked, living in a graveyard, tied up in chains. And they asked Jesus to leave. What's happening here? Let's see what's going on. Matthew 12:12 says it better than it says this also. I said men are better than pigs, more important than pigs. Here's what Matthew 12:12 says. How much then is a man better than a what? A sheep. And that used to be what was sacrificed in the Old Testament. Listen, friend, I'm all for loving animals and stuff like that, but men are more important than pigs. Men are more important than sheep. You have value. God loves you today. And the lives of these two men were transformed. These lives were changed. Just keep moving quickly, Raj. And you'd think the community would have been grateful, wouldn't you say? Are y'all with me? You'd think the community would have been, oh my, praise Jesus! They got clothes on! All right! You know? We could go that way again. You know, great. But they weren't grateful. They begged him to leave. Next. Obviously, pigs. Does money matter to you more than the mercy of God? For them, it was pig money. How about you today? How about you? How about Clarkster today? Does money matter more to me than God's mercy? It did to them, didn't it? I can't even believe this. But I can't believe what people in this world will sell their soul for. Pig money was more important than God's mercy. Let's keep moving. 38, 39. So what happened? We're getting somewhere. Boat tripping with Jesus. This was quite a trip. This is one they wouldn't believe when they told their friends. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him, that's Jesus, that he might be with him. Here he was in his clothes. Can't you see him? He got clothes on now. He's in his right mind. And he asked Jesus. He says, Jesus, can I come with you? Can I come with you? Jesus sent him away. Well, that's sad, ain't it? He said, return to your own house. Show how great things God has done unto you. A couple of statements I wrote down. Number one of these men who were transformed, one of them, there was two, asked Jesus if he'd go with him. But Jesus said, well, say it with me. No, but go. Could you say that again? No, but go. No, but go. He said, no, you can't go with me, but do this. Go to your house. I like this. Leave the tombs. You don't live here anymore. Amen? Boy, that's how I feel. Boy, when I got saved, I was about 16 years old, lived in Rockingham, North Carolina. God did a work in my life. I mean, I was wretched as could be. My mother was a stone cold drunk. Unbelievable. But guess what? Praise God, He changed our lives. He changed our lives. And you know what? I like to go back to Rockingham, and guess what? I don't live there anymore. It's a great little town. I love the people. But I go to my house where my mother, that very house my mother was killed in. I don't live at 109 River Road anymore. God's changed my life, friend. Has He changed your life, son? Has He brought you from somewhere where you once used to be? Isn't that phenomenal? I don't live there anymore. He said, go home, boy. Leave these tombs. Let's look at the next thing. He also said this, go show what great things God has done for you. Go show what great things God has done for you. That's why I thrill. It's an honor for me for you to come and for me to be able to tell you great things God has done for me. It's an honor for me. And it should be something you should do. That's what Christianity is about, folks, right there. Go to your house, go to your friends, and tell them, I'm not the man I used to be. I talked to a guy this morning. He went up north. He wanted so bad to witness to his mom and dad. And after 25 years, they're getting a divorce. And he's hurting today. God talked to me earlier. And I encouraged him to try to witness to his parents. He said, well, I don't want to make them think I'm better than them. Hey, you don't have to do that. You're different. God's changed your life. You're saved. You're a new creature in Christ. Go tell them that. You never know what God could do. That's what you and I are supposed to do. We're supposed to show what great things God has done. Let's keep moving. Go and show. Can you say that with me one more time? Go and show. That's what Christianity is about. I know where to tell the gospel for sure. But you know what? Let me tell you. Go and show. Go and show. Go and show. That's what Englewood needs out of Fellowship Church. Go and show. We need to leave this place today and show forth that we love Christ. Show forth that we're believers in Jesus Christ. Show forth that we're different. Not that we're better. We ain't better at all. But Christ is living in us. Go and show. That's what He told them. And He did it. You might be here today thinking, I can't do anything for God. Look at this. 39b. So the former demon-possessed guy, look at it. He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus has done unto him. Do you think if somebody asks you, you can tell them something great God's done in your life? Say, yes. Why don't you tell somebody? You tell somebody what God's done in your life. And if you can't think of something good God's done for you, then maybe you don't know Him real well. Listen, go tell people what great things God has done. That's what He did. Let's look at the situation. Talk is cheap. You can talk church all day long. Talk. Look at this. Religion doesn't cut it. But I go to this church and I do that. Friend, we ought to start talking about what great things God's done in my life. Amen? Talk like that. If you talk like that, they'll probably come here. Religion doesn't cut it. But look at the power to change life. This is what does it right here. I change life. Look at this guy. Luke 8:40. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Wait a minute, let's read that again. It came to pass, they told Jesus to leave. He got in the boat, he was gone. He was out of there. It says that when Jesus was returned, he came back. At some point, what does it say? Read it with me. The people, what? Gladly received him, for they were what? Wonder why they were waiting for him. Last time I checked, they asked him to leave Dodge. Didn't they? Why were they waiting? Here's why. Look at it. When Jesus came back to Gadara, watch it. The people gladly received him. They were all waiting for him. And here's why. Because mercy trumps money. Mercy trumped money that day, huh? That man was more important than pigs, wasn't he? The mercy of God came in that man's life. It changed his life. Your life can be changed. If you know Christ, it ought to be changed. It trumps money every time. Let's keep moving, Dodge. What can we learn today about boat tripping with Jesus? It seems like we missed something, brother, on that. But maybe we did. Okay? But the fact is, what happened? This man's life was changed. This man's life was changed. That's why when, listen to me, that's why when Jesus came back, the people gladly received him. Because he went to his house, he went to the folks, he told them what great things were done. And if you'll do that, you'll be surprised at how people will receive Jesus into their life. So what can we learn from today's lesson? Here we go. We're done with the message this morning. Can you say that with me? I need help up here because I'm hot and dying. Say it with me. Will you help me? Number one, believe he is going to get you there. If you're going to be on this boat trip, that's the key right there. You've got to believe that he's going to get me there. He is going to be with me in my life. Number two, I read the scripture. Go ye therefore and I'll teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus Christ is going to be with me as I go. As I go on this trip, as I live this life, as I try to live for him. Number two, what have I learned today? Number two, deal with fear first, and you do it by faith. Romans 10, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. If you don't read the Scriptures, you're not going to increase in your faith. It ain't happening. You've got to be in the Scriptures. Deal with fear first, and you do it by faith. Number three, know Satan is a thief. The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. We've learned it today. He wants to destroy your life, my life. Know that. He had possessed these men. Next, know a man's soul is more important than anything. A man's soul is more important than anything. Matthew 16, 26. For what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own what? Soul. What shall a man gain in exchange for his soul? Next, what have we learned today? Believe you can make a difference. Believe you can make a difference. I believe, even though I get frustrated and I get discouraged sometimes, I believe I can make a difference. I believe I can make a difference right here. I believe I can make a difference with my family. I believe I can make a difference. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. He can do things in my life. Do you believe you can make a difference? You need to believe it. Next, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father. You can make a difference. And then finally, would you say this with me, and we're done. No mercy trumps money. How many times? Every time. Every time. I love this story for that reason. They asked Jesus to leave because they lost their pigs. But two men were radically changed, demons gone, weren't running around naked anymore, not terrorizing folks, but they lost their little money. And that's a sad commentary. Mercy trumps money every time. Here's the last verse. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. And thank you for letting us be in the Word today, Lord. I just pray you'll bless it now to our hearts. I pray we'll learn something. And I just pray, Lord, that you're going to have to take this message and you've got to do with it as you see fit, Lord. Thank you for putting it on my heart. Thank you, Lord, that you've not left us alone. That you go through this world with us. And Lord, this isn't Gilligan's Island story. We really have struggles, but you're really with us if we believe in you. You'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, you'll never fail us. You'll get us to the other side. Your word is true. We can trust you, we can believe in you. I pray we'll do that. Help us not to lose faith. Help us without fear, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.